Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today is Friday, June 13, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book, page 151. We're starting a Vision for You, and we're starting off with, for most normal folks, ending with, and one more failure. All right, today's readers, Tenzin P is going to read the steps. Sarah M is taking care of the traditions. Reading the text is Elena C. Page 164 is Katie G. The backup reader is Trisha D. Newcomer reader is Tony B. And second hour host is Eileen M. All right, our share IDs for yesterday. Thursday, June 12, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,519. That's 22,519. And then 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,520. 22,520. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. Always not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message of carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Tenzin P is going to read the 12 steps for us.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up, it's Sarah M. with the 12 Traditions. Star 1, Sarah.
This is Sarah M. from Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. Pass.
Thanks, Sarah. Appreciate it. All right. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions and the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we're starting the chapter of Vision for You, page 151, that first paragraph, for most normal folks, ending with one more failure. And Elena C. is going to read and share on this for us.
Good morning again, and Russ, can you hear me?
Gotcha, 100%.
Okay, my name is Elena C., recover for today in South Carolina. For most normal folks, drinking means conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. It means release from care, boredom, and worry. It is joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good. But not so with us in those last days of heavy drinking. The old pleasures were gone. They were but memories. Never could we recapture the great moments of the past. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did, and a heartbreaking obsession that some numerical of control would enable us to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. What a powerful paragraph. And it was so true for me. The reason I couldn't enjoy life, I wanted to enjoy life. I had made food my master. It was a lot of my thoughts went there. What could I eat? You know, even an Al-Anon meeting, they would bring chocolate, and I wouldn't hear people. I was just focusing on, you know, eating chocolate. And but a little more than that, the character defects, those resentments, selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, and fear, the so-called character defects, were blocking my enjoyment of life, you know, because I had no idea that I had them, or I had the idea that I had them and I was justifying them. That's just what it is. And I have no tools whatsoever to get unstuck. And, you know, it was one more attempt and one more failure. Today, there are no failures in the realm of my higher power. With my higher power, there are no failures. Because with my higher power, they're just mistakes that I make. Or in, with my higher power, they're just, this is just how life is. You know, I have a dog that we might have to put asleep. Unfortunately, it's my daughter's dog, and he's devastating. But I get that, and I feel the pain. But yet, you know, it's my life is beyond my imagination. I can also enjoy. There was no way I could have enjoyed that without this recovery. There was no way I could have enjoyed life and focus and be able to be present for my clients, for my husband, for other people in my life and feel joy. That thing that was happening in my life was devastating, and that was all it. And today I have tools to get unstuck, and the tools are the 12 steps of recovery, for which I am will be forever grateful. And so there are no failure in the realm of the spirit. And when challenges come, I kid you not, and I would never believe that I could feel this way, I take them as challenges, and I look for the gift in it. What is the gift in this, in my life challenges? Because there are no failures in the realm of the spirit. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Rob?
All right. Thank you, Elena, for getting us started. Appreciate it. All right. And we're going to open up the line for Sharon. And although we value your experience, we have to limit your share to every third day so others have a chance to share also. So what I need is first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. I think I heard Katie.
Harlan G.
Yeah,
Katie
Janet
G from Boston.
Janet, please.
Okay.
Janet B.
Okay. Harlan G. Okay. Hold on. Harlan G.
Holly
Janet.
G.
Janet B. Is that Holly?
Trisha D. Jennifer C.
Trisha D.
Kelly G.
Jennifer C. And that too was Kelly G. Jen, I got you. All right, this is what I got right this second. Katie G. Harlan G. Janet B. Kelly G. Trisha D. Jennifer C. Who else?
Shanna C. Kelly F.
Shanna. And there was someone else there?
Be right there, honey.
Who else?
Katie, you're unmuted. Kelly.
Sorry.
Kelly. Oh, Kelly. Kelly. EY. I got it. Okay. I think this is a good lineup. Katie G, Harlan G, Janet B, Kelly G, Trisha D, Jennifer C, Shanna C, and Kelly S. I think that's pretty good. All right, Katie, you're up. And everybody else that's not
hey
Katie
guys,
G,
sorry,
please.
I wasn't muted when I talked to my kiddo. You know, it's so funny because when I read this line, it means release from care, boredom, and worry. It is joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good. That's, for me, that's what my life is today. I was writing this morning, and I was writing about happiness. And for me today, you know, it's true that I have found a new happiness as the result of putting down anorexia exercise bulimia and compulsive eating. I don't have that barrier, right? That barrier that addiction creates between me and you, and between me and God. And for me, my last relapse was with exercise bulimia, and I had this like idea in my mind. I love that it says there was an insistent yearning to enjoy life. This like imagination inside of me, like I would get on the Peloton bike and I would be like, these people know me. I'm an athlete. I'm not an athlete. I'm a housewife in Boston, right? and I wanted to be able to exercise for 2 hours a day, to be the thinnest girl in the room. And I wanted pleasure from that. And for me, I don't really think I ever got much pleasure. When I put certain ingredients, and for me, the behaviors of exercise bulimia and anorexia, it activates the phenomenon of craving for me right away. And once that phenomenon of craving is activated, I have no power, no choice, and no control. I have no ability to interact with other people. I have no ability to function. I can't get out of bed. I can't do anything but try and get that sense of ease and comfort to continue. And thanks be to God, I failed enough that one day I woke up, right? One day I woke up and I couldn't continue. I had failed enough and I knew that I needed help. And this paragraph also reminds me that the main problem of this disease is in my mind. And thanks be to God, I know that today. Like all recovered means for me today is that these 24 hours, I am a compulsive eater, anorexic and bulimic, but I do not suffer from those diseases, from those aspects of my disease. I do suffer from, you know, this disease of the mind, but one day at a time, one 10th step at a time, one nightly review at a time, and most importantly, one prayer at a time, I get that joyous intimacy and a feeling that life is good, because you know what? Fundamentally, all is well and life is good. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Katie. Next up is Harlan G, followed by Janet B.
Thank you very much, Mr. Russ, for your service this morning. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. We read this book and we look at these striking similarities between alcoholism and compulsive overeating, and they are amazing. And we relate and we recover. Here is a vast difference. Never in my entire life, and I've had as extensive an eating career as could be amassed in the decades and decades that I was a slave to food. Never in my entire life did I ever belly up to the buffet or belly up to McDonald's or belly up to God knows what and have a good time with the food. Isolation, fear, shame, degradation, knowing I was killing myself, that was what was going through my mind. I never had companionship. I never had colorful imagination. I did not even dare to dream. There was no release from care, boredom, and worry. There was no joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good. There was only the feeling that my pants really didn't button. My shirt really didn't button. I was passing gas and trying to make my way to the bathroom before I, you know what. There was one more attempt and one more failure, but there was definitely an insistent yearning to enjoy life. But I knew that what I was doing was not the way to get there, yet I kept doing it in more and more and more volume as life went on. Why? Because it's a disease. It's a compulsion of the mind and an allergy of the body that compelled me to eat food against my will and engage in shameful, embarrassing behavior. I was embarrassed and ashamed even when the only person that knew what I was doing at the time was me. I knew I didn't want to be doing this, I would have given anything not to be doing it, yet I would have killed anybody that stood in my way. If that ain't insanity, I don't know what is. I was going to go Monday, Four Horsemen, Terror, Bewilderment, Frustration, Despair. I wanted to speak on that, but this paragraph is too tempting because this is a disease of isolation. It is not a disease of camaraderie and companionship and colorful imagination. It's a disease of disgust and self-loathing. The only force in the world that could have broken that cycle was God. The only way out is through God. The only way out is through a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And in order to get on the threshold of doing any of that, I had to suffer unbelievable pain, unbelievable degradation at my own hand. I'm very, very glad to be in recovery today so that the companionship, the colorful imagination, the release from care, boredom, and worry, the joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good, does not come from Almond Joy Bar.
Sorry.
It comes from being a member of Overeaters Anonymous. I have finally discovered the source of all that joy, and it's here, and it's now. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Armin. Next up is Janet B., followed by Kelly G.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is Janet. Hi, this is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So that line at the bottom, there was an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did and a heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. Well, that is what I prayed for as I was binging and binging through my first 7 years of Overeaters Anonymous, prayed for a miracle of control that I would be able to get off the subway stop on my way to work and make it that few blocks walk to the office without stopping at the bakery. Well, that miracle never happened. I prayed for it, like, God, please help me just make it to work. Like, forget about getting 48 hours. I couldn't make it to work without binging. And I prayed for this miracle of control. Well, this program is about miracles, right? So, like, what's up? Why didn't that work? But that's not the kind of miracle that we're promised, right? A miracle of control. I will never have control because control is based on my own willpower, and there was nothing there. But page 161 is just one of the lines I saw that talked about the kind of miracles we do get. And it talks about, it says, they had seen miracles, and one was to come to them. They had visioned the great reality, their loving and all-powerful creator. So we don't get a miracle of control, but what I got through working these steps was the miracle of my loving and all-powerful creator. And I couldn't control my own life. So our step three tells me that what I have to do is to turn my entire will and life over to the care of God, not some bully God, not some, you know, angry God, but a God who cares for me. And it tells me, right, this beautiful paragraph on page 161, they vision the great reality, their loving and all-powerful creator. Well, suddenly I didn't need a miracle of control because through working these steps, a different kind of miracle happened to me, that the food obsession was removed. So it's like I don't need a miracle of control when it comes to gambling because I really don't care about gambling. I don't need a miracle of control when it comes to heroin because, like, I could care less about heroin. Never tried it, no desire. But when we go through these steps and have an experience of our loving and all-powerful creator, the food becomes kind of like that. We don't need any kind of miracle of control because we're in a position of neutrality. We're safe and protected. We don't have the craving anymore. That is the kind of miracle that this program promises, that we get an experience of God. We get a great relationship with our fellow travelers along this path. So we don't need control. We just need an experience of God. And these beautiful 12 steps show us exactly how to get it. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Janet. Next up is Kelly G. Kelly G.
Awesome. Hi, thanks so much. Good morning, yep. Kelly G., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. I love this paragraph, and I always get nervous to share, and then I hope you hear my name, and then I'm scared you did hear my name. So thank you for hearing it. The first sentence that sticks out, it means release from care, worry, boredom, right? The food. And for me, every time the food does that. If I pick up the food, it's an immediate release, which is why I continue to pick it up, because it works every time. There's never a time where I picked up the food and I was like, ew, gross. Never. That first bite was an immediate release of care, boredom, and worry. It is joyous intimacy with friends. False. That is such a lie to myself. The opposite of intimacy is addiction. If I am engaging in my disease, then there is no intimacy whatsoever. I'm completely blocked. And that's why I engage in disease, right? Because it's that, it's two sides. It's one, I'm dying for that intimacy and that closeness, and that's all I want. And then I don't have it, so then I eat because I'm lonely and I'm depressed and I hate myself. And then I'm craving that intimacy, and then I eat, and the divide keeps getting wider and wider and wider. Then it talks about the end of, towards middle end of the paragraph, there is an instant yearning to enjoy life as we once did. Well, once a butterfly, never going to be a caterpillar again. Perhaps I once did enjoy and partake, and my mom would always pick me up from school and have the best snacks after school, and I'd look forward to the snack, and I'd have the snack, and then I'd carry on with the afternoon. But then when that changed, It's never going to be that again. It's going to be the constant obsession. I can't unlearn and detangle what has already occurred. So for example, holidays for me, Thanksgiving, instant yearning to enjoy life. I just want to enjoy this holiday dinner. I just want to partake in it. I want to have the hors d'oeuvres when everyone arrives. I want the main meal. I want to try every dessert. And I don't have that luxury. And I'm lying to myself when I use any of the words enjoy, intimacy, joy. I'm never going to be a part of when I'm in the food. So yeah, I'm really grateful that to experience intimacy, I have to be so present and so clear and so connected with God, because that is the only way that true intimacy can exist. And without that relationship with God, I will never know what true intimacy is. With that, I'll pass.
All right. Thanks, Kelly. Before Trisha D jumps up, let me let you know where we're at. If you got on the line a little late, we're starting a vision, the chapter Vision for You, chapter 11, page 151. The first big section there for most normal folk, ending with one more failure. All right, Trisha, you're up.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks for letting me share today. Thanks for your service. This is Trisha D. from Georgia, outside Atlanta, and I am a grateful compulsive overeater. I look at this chapter, a vision for you, and it really speaks to me loud and clear today because of the word vision. Unfortunately, my sister, Carol, passed away last night, and she was definitely an untreated compulsive overeater. And, you know, as I've been mourning her upcoming death for quite a while now, and I know it was coming. And, you know, I've been journaling a lot and doing 10 steps over my anger toward her, because why didn't she take care of herself better? She did have a good life. She was 83 years old, but I know that she could have even done more to take better care of herself. She couldn't even get herself out of bed. She needed help just to get her out, and she couldn't take care of her bodily needs and toward the end of her life. But, you know, why? I kept saying, why, Lord, didn't she take better care of herself? And like me, you know, I saw her poor self-image. I saw, you know, that her need to control and her bossiness. But you know, but why didn't she get recovery like I have been able to get recovery through the steps? And she didn't. But I kept, God kept putting on my heart the word surrender. That surrender means to stop asking why and to accept what is. And that it doesn't matter to know why. Just stop asking. But I do have this image of my sister, and this is the title of this chapter, A Vision for You. I have this beautiful image of my sister in spite of the challenges that she went through in her 83 years, being the firstborn of 8 children. I was number 5. That, you know, she dealt with our untreated alcoholic father. And also, she still pursued a life of love. My sister loved, and her, she is leaving a legacy of much love to her son and her many, many grandchildren and great-grands. But what God has also put on my heart is that, you know, when you spot it, you got it. Well, I'll never know the depths of her pain and her suffering, but I also see that she will be a model to me of what someone who didn't take recovery. And I let her passing reveal to me the efforts of her own desperation to make the choices. You know, she to do the action in the work, and she, you know, it shows me to fight for myself every day by doing the action to work these steps to the best of my ability. And you know, she's like that, was that sacrificial lamb, but I also see her as a mother hen. She gathered all of her children and grandchildren around her in love, in spite of all the challenges in the compulsive eating tendencies and behaviors that she had. Thank you, Russ. But anyway, but I will end with saying this. My sister, as my friend Jennifer C. says, Carol got an A+ on her report card every day. And God sees it all, and she did the best with what she had. And thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Thanks, Tricia. Next up is Jennifer C., followed by Shanna C.
Good morning. Good morning, Russ. Thanks for your service. Thanks.
Good morning.
To everybody's service on Team Friday. Boy, oh boy, how grateful I am to be a compulsive overeater. Because, you know, food is one of those things that the whole world is using for release from care, boredom, and worry, right? Like, on some level, my husband, right, after a hard day of work, why not get a milkshake? Takes the edge off a little bit, right? But he's not eating 6 of them. He's not going home and getting more food later and then locking himself in the pantry. It's the difference between me and him. But for the normal folk, right, they can still use food a little bit. I can't. I'm in this distinct entity. I cannot use food in any form. And so this release from care, boredom, and worry, like, I still need it because I'm human, right? So I still have cares. I still have boredom. Is this all there is? Is this it? Wait, I'm abstinent. I thought life was going to get so much better, and then I get abstinent, and I feel like I'm bored out of my mind. I feel like I have all this extra time I don't know what to do with. I feel like all my anxieties that I eat over, like, they're all still there. What do I do? What do I do? Because I keep going back to the food because all that stuff is still there because food is my solution. It's not my problem, right? And, you know, reading this paragraph, I'm so thankful that, like, today, my release from care is my relationship with God. And I don't say that because it sounds good. I say that because it really is true for me today. Like, I still need a release. And I go to God. And I used to go to God, right? I used to pray. And then I used to go to the food, too, because the God thing wasn't hitting the spot, right? But, like, today I know that I follow it through. I follow it through. I ask God to remove whatever is causing the restlessness, the irritability, and the discontentment with my life, the boredom. If I'm bored, I'm not doing enough service. Because if I'm abstinent and I have recovery, then I have a responsibility and an obligation every single day of my life to be giving it away in fun and for free. So if I'm bored, I got more work to do. Who am I helping? How am I sharing God's love and God's power and God's way of life in and out of the rooms, right? And this worry, I can only go one place with that worry, and it's to God, who reminds me over and over again, sunshine, you got nothing to worry about. Just keep doing your 10 steps. Just keep seeking me in prayer and meditation, and keep turning your attention to those you can help, and I got your back. I need those messages over and over and over again. So good news is the doctor's opinion has a promise in it, and it tells me that the same person that is a nervous wreck, that can't sit still, is bored, restless, and irritable, becomes a man who can easily control his desire for food. I'm never going to not be a compulsive overeater, but walking in recovery today means that I recoil one day at a time. And if you're in this process and you're still picking up, don't quit working the steps. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jennifer. Next up is Shanna, followed by Kelly S.
Good morning, Russ. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater from Tennessee. I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning and listening to everyone share. I honest to goodness do not know how I can add anything to what has already been shared. And just a great appreciation for what we're reading this morning, because it describes me to a T. And I love how everyone who has shared from their own language and from their own point of view, how they establish their relationship with God. And you know, whatever it takes to get there, that the goal is to get there. And who knew we had to go anywhere to get it, because that reality is down deep within each, all of us. And I'm so grateful for the miracles on this line. And it was shared earlier that there's, you know, it's a miracle that any of us are able to not pick up that food again. And I say that because I know there are newcomers out there on this line that are just as desperate as we are, you know, or at least were, and you're not alone, you know. And I remember for me, I did have those thoughts of, oh my God, I identify so much with, I just want to enjoy pizza with my kids. I just want to enjoy, and I had that hope, and, you know, and I'm looking at all these other people sitting around at the pizza buffets with their kids, and they're nibbling on some pizza and paying attention to the people around them, and that wasn't me. I'm with the pizza, and I'm just like, how many can I have before my gut bursts, and then wait a little bit longer and so I can stuff some more in it? I didn't know I was suffering from that mental obsession, physical allergy. I thought really everybody ate the way that I did. And it wasn't just pizza. It could be anything. Well, pretty much anything other than what was good for me. So anyway, but I identify so much with that, you know, being the old pleasures were gone. They were memories and never could lose all of it. I don't want to just keep rambling. People are saying so many good things, but I'm just grateful that when I abandon myself utterly to the God of my understanding and willing to do his will, cool stuff happens. And then all of a sudden I feel connected and I feel that I matter and I feel that I have a purpose, and the food becomes secondary. It becomes what it was meant to be, is nourishment for my body. Just a quick story. The other day, I'm praying. I'm in 10, 11, and 12. I've 10-stepped. I'm going out to lunch with my husband, and all of a sudden, I have this desire for a large, you know, like a salad. I have desires for salad. I want fried stuff, you know, but I have this desire for salad. And the restaurant we're going to, I placed my order or whatever. I really wanted more salad than cooked vegetables. But anyway, nonetheless, I had what I was going to eat. And the next thing you know, the waitress brings out kind of a larger salad than what I had expected. She said it was a mistake in the kitchen. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I was telling my husband I wanted a large salad, and here we are. I'm with this beautiful salad, and I'm so happy about it. I'm not happy about salad. Left of my boxes, but God gave me a salad. Anyway, grateful. That's the cool stuff that happens when I'm close to him and performing his work as best as I possibly can and surrendering. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Shanna. Next up is Kelly S. And then before we get the next group, somebody's going to have a big announcement for us today.
Am I up?
Yep, you're up, Kel.
Hey, Russ, thanks for your service. Good morning, everybody. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater in Bulimic and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and such powerful shares. And there was, I knew there'd be a lot of people wanting to share, and I tried to get my name out. Russ didn't hear me, and I'm like, forget it. And then I just think about my sponsor saying, you know, I owe it to this program and to God to share this miracle that I've been given. So that's why I try to get on the lines like once a week to give it back, to let you guys know this stuff works. So this paragraph for me, you know, in my truth, I never had those old pleasures. I don't have those memories. Never could I recapture the great moments. There weren't anything to capture. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life. That's true. You know, even as a young girl, I didn't start having weight issues till, you know, probably high school, but I always had a different relationship with food and my body. And food just took a different role in my life. And the thing that, you know, food, you know, makes somebody happy. I mean, you know, people do. It's like my family, we get together every summer and go to the lake and they're, you know, they're having cookouts and s'mores. I mean, I wanted those things. I tried my whole life to capture those kind of fun things I'd see on commercials and billboards and TV and my family. And as was said, I'm a distinct entity and I could never, and I tried so many times. And here's what happens to me, you guys, when I do this. You know, the minute I remember, the minute I think, I'll just have a s'more, it's just a s'more, my family's having a cookout, my grandkids are here, I eat the s'more, and the roaring starts in my head. The roaring starts, and I can't hear anything. Everybody else becomes background. And all that happens is this constant obsession and disease of war. And a few years ago, I was at the lake with my family, and they just eat spontaneously, and there's snacks everywhere, and I'm thinking, you know, it's just veggie straws. Can't that count as something? The whole weekend, I'm shoving food in my pocket, shoving it in my mouth as I go in the bathroom around the house, and the roaring is awful, and it's awful, and I can't get out of it. So food has never been that intimacy. The roaring has gotten louder over the years, and the only way I can stop that is by working these steps and with this relationship with God. And today, the cool, really wonderful miracle is I have joyous intimacy with friends and feeling that life is good today because I'm abstinent and working these steps in relationship with God. That's why I have these things. That thing I kept searching for years, that totally, this was eluding me. I had no idea. So if you guys have been around for years, if you're a chronic relapser, you know, been in the disease, you're new, there is a miracle waiting. Don't give up. Call me. I'll share you mine. I'm telling you guys, it is true intimacy, a feeling that life is good for the first time in my 62 years of life. And with that, thank you.
All right, there, Kelly. Perfect timing. And now before we take more shares, we have Amy G's going to give us this big announcement. I think.
Thank you so much. Are you there?
Yep.
Can I be heard? Oh, hey, Russ.
Yep.
Great. Thank you. Yes, indeed. I have an announcement. The Vision for You convention is back. Yes, indeedy. November 7th through the 9th, 2025, at the Marriott Newark International Airport Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. The Power of the Big Book. Your weekend of inspiration, education, motivation, and fellowship. That's right, folks. The power of the big book, the power of the 12 steps, the power of God to transform lives and free us from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Now, I know we all want to get to the convention because we want to have fellowship. We want to get the hugs. We want to see the faces that we've never seen but had talked to on the phone. We want to be there with our community. But let's talk about the real reason why we're there. And if you don't believe me, here's some feedback that I've gotten in asking folks about what happened, what their experiences were, and why they sure as heck want to come back. That's where I found my higher power. That's where I truly surrendered. That's where I finally understood the fatal nature of my disease. That's where I found my sponsor who took me through the steps, and I've been recovered. The age of miracles is still with us, people. Be there. Be a part of the miracle. And if you're going to make one more attempt, let it be to register, register, register. And how do you do that? Go to our website, www.avision4you.info. Again, that's www.avision4you.info to register. Be a part of God's vision for you. Come, we want to see you there. Let's all be the miracles. Let's all be the miracles. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right, Aime, thank you very much. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing again. And although we value your experience, you limit your share to every third day. Same deal if you shared Wednesday or Thursday. Please step back. I need your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. We could take probably about five more. Looking like five more.
Sarah T.
Larry G.
Michelle.
Larry G.
Harry G.
Christina
Anita
L.
J.
Anita and someone else.
Maria C.
There was someone before Maria, but we're going to throw you in there.
Jackie A.
There it is. So there's our five. Hopefully we can get everybody in. Sarah T., you're up.
Hi. Thank you so much for your service. Hi, I'm Sarah T. I am calling from Louisville, Kentucky, recovered compulsive overeater. Wanted to jump in. I'm just really filled with gratitude this morning. I've been coming to this meeting for the last few months, and boy, I just feel such a shift in my recovery. And as I was listening to everybody share, I'm just, you all helped me know I'm in the right place. Like just hearing everybody describe, like, yeah, compulsive overeating is not fun. Like, and I had the obsession that it would be every time. And I really, really appreciate this because I've had this miracle come up where I had this, my plan for this year was I'm not going to travel. My husband and I took a really big trip last year and we're like, we're not going to travel. God's plan is I have two international trips in the next 4 months. And it's just miraculous how that all works. But I have been really struggling with this idea of, you know, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to eat. And that's old thinking, you know, of, you know, thinking that the food would enhance the experience. And that's what I get out of this paragraph, is that lie of if I eat things that I used to eat, it will be fun. Like that's the old idea. And it has been proven to me again and again that that is not true. And so hearing you all share this morning about just how disgusting compulsive overeating is, I so relate to that. I so relate to that feeling of isolation and despair of what it's like to be in the food. And I really needed that reminder because this time I can travel on God's terms, not my terms. And I can connect with the people around me and I can enjoy the experience. And who knows what this adventure will be. But I know I'll be present for it because I don't have to be in the food. And I just am so grateful that I found you all. What a miracle this program is. And I think that's all I have to share today. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks. Sarah T. from Louisville, Kentucky.
Thanks, Sarah. Next up is Larry G., followed by Anita J.
Larry G. from California. Hi, family. I'm really grateful Bill put the vision for you in the back instead of the front, because I would have never got to the problem if I was just gone out and relapsed if he had to put the vision for you up front. It's timely. Saturday, my former wife and I are hosting a graduation party for my daughter, youngest daughter. She just got pinned as a registered nurse, and there's going to be about 100 people there, and everybody there is from Al-Anon or AAOA, and we're gonna laugh like, you know, only 12-step people laugh or laugh inappropriate things, inappropriate times. And you know, my wife's in vision, and we're contributing a charcuterie board, and this is like on a sheet of plywood. It's just enormous. And I'm not going there to graze on this charcuterie board or anything else. I'm there to be of service to my daughter, I'm there to make moments and memories. I'm there to laugh. I'm there to hang out with people I love. And you know, there'll be a lot of photos. You will not see any photos of me with a 2-pound hamburger in my hand or mainlining hot dogs or passed out on the couch. And I have my sobriety date in this program is May 18th, 2020. And I have to tell you that that date is sacred to me. I would not give up one precious moment of that to graze at that buffet table. And when we get home on Saturday night, you know, my wife and I will have fond moments and memories. We'll go to bed. Her and I will do the 11 step together. And I will go to bed absent and wake up sober with all these wonderful photos and memories and moments in my heart. And I'll be alive. I will be present at this function, working the 12 step, giving service. Oh, my God, what a way of life. I will not be dead on Sunday morning feeling like I've got to go to the emergency to get my stomach pumped and having that that frothy emotional appeal on Sunday morning, and then just the same shit will happen all over again on by 10 or 11 o'clock. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Lara. Next up is Anita J., followed by Jackie A.
Hi, Russ. Thank you for your service. This is Anita J. in Massachusetts. So that first line, for most normal folks, trying to think back to when I felt that way. And when was it conviviality, companionship, and all? And I have a memory at the age of 10. There were three of us in the fifth grade. We formed an eating club. We didn't even call it a book club or any other kind of a club. It was what it was. That after school, we would go to someone's house. Well, actually, the girl that lived closest to the school, and we would eat and laugh. And, you know, I don't know anymore. Were we really having fun? I don't know. But the mask came off after that. I never had anything that I would have called an eating club where we just got together and had a lot of fun eating. I remember, you know, I'm from Illinois, and a friend came to visit. I mean, this is fast forward now into my, I'd say, 40s or 50s. And I took her right from the airport down to the Cape to one of their ice cream shops. And she said to me as we sat there over some gooey something, I never know when I land what you're going to be like. Are you going to be the one that, I don't know if she used the word abstinent or not, which, you know, I was like two different people. And she just came. If I was eating, she would eat. If I didn't, she didn't. I guess that's a friend. I guess that was a friend. I missed her. But the thing is, I need to remember these things. They never ended well. Eating never ended well, compulsive overeating. I never changed. I've had a couple of moments when I was sick with pneumonia that I thought I had changed. I didn't change. I am Anita J., food addict, trying to live in the recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Anita. One second. It looks like we got time for like a minute and a half for Jackie A. My estimate of time was off. So, Jackie, if you want to do now about a minute, we got about a minute.
You got it, sir. Thank you, Mr. Ross. This is Jackie. Hi, everybody. Jackie A. from Connecticut.
Jack, we lost you.
Got it. All right. The message prompt said I was muted. And I was like, okay. Thank you, everybody. I'm really blessed. I had a little bit of time this morning, and I'm on my knees praying. So I've had this ongoing fear of losing my job. and the vision that my God is having for me the last couple days is freaking me out a little bit. It's like trust your gut. And I'm like, well, my gut says that something bad could happen. And at the same time, my gut is saying something great could happen. And in the past, I would have absolutely ran to the food, cried my eyes out, been in self-pity, ran to all my colleagues, said, this is terrible. It's horrible. This is what they're doing to me. And, you know, wanted to celebrate how great I am and all this self-pity shit. So I'm really just keep turning it over. I'm blessing today with like a day of gratitude. I'm trusting that like I'm protected, and if I'm redirected, I'm redirected. And if I have to cry, I'm going to cry and laugh. And if I get to celebrate, I'm going to cry and go, that was crazy thinking. And next week, after I go on vacation, I'm going hiking. Bye. It's already paid for. Thank you. I'm claiming my abstinence at my high school graduation. There will be no binge crazy Jackie. There will be a sane, sober, grateful, abstinent one that can talk about it 10 years later. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Jackie. Appreciate it. Maria C., if you could wait till the next meeting, that would be great. I'm sorry about that. All right. Thank you to everyone who shared. Everybody did service today for this meeting. We really appreciate it. Stick around for an unrecorded hour study at the top of the hour after closing. All right. Today's share ID, Friday, June 13, 2025, is 22,523, 22523. All right, and now we're going to end with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will KG please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thank you. Happy to. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until